So the coronavirus has taken over the world.
Is that what we're going to talk about on lunchtime?
I mean, it's a part of it. It's like the hook for it.
Oh, okay.
How about that? John Bozica.
Noah Hiles.
So today on lunchtime, Noah came up with the idea.
Actually, I got to come clean. This was a submission from a loyal listener.
Oh.
So shout out to Jenna Bluedorn. Thank you for suggesting this topic. And
I didn't know we had loyal listeners.
We do. And she submitted this, and this will be good. So explain what we're getting into here.
So what we're doing is we're getting into doomsday prep. Mm-hmm. So when the world ends, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? What is Noah going to do to allow ourselves to live in a good place when the world decides, hey, I'm just not going to be here anymore. Yeah.
And this is relevant, of course, because like John said, the COVID-19 or the coronavirus continues to spread.
Listen to you with that.
I mean, I am a news reporter. I got to get my facts right. It's moved on to Italy, to South Korea. It's already starting to affect the world economy. I don't know if you're invested in the stock market. I know I am. And my stocks have been plummeting this week. It's something you just hate to see. And who knows? I mean, with the amount of international traveling here in America, it's only a matter of time before this becomes bigger, you'd imagine.
Yeah, I would think so. As I've said before, I think it's one of those things that as you have better health care, it's probably going to affect you less and less.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that, readily available health care, then you're going to struggle with it.
I mean, it started in a village in China when they were eating bats.
So, I mean,
so West Virginia's in danger here.
But whoa, that, I'm not going to be one to say that.
All right. So we have our doomsday prep. And this kind of, I think this kind of encompasses pretty much any scenario aside from quarantine. Like if they say you cannot leave where you're currently at, well, there's not a lot you can do. You're just stuck. And I mean, you know, if you're in your house, you have what you have there. If you're at work, you have what you have here. But this is for a scenario for if things were to go down in the midst, and we had a little bit of a warning. So, John, do you want to go first?
No, you go first. I'm looking at your list here. I'm impressed. Go ahead.
So I am a doomsday prepper. Not necessarily like a crazy one. Like I don't have a bunker.
He's like Dwight Schrute. He has a bunker full of foods.
That. I mean, if I own a house, I will. I'll have a bunker. I just think it's, why not? What do you have to lose by having a bunker?
I mean, something that'll probably never be touched.
It's better. It's like car insurance. You know, I hope I don't get in a car wreck, but it's good to have it.
It's a bit different. Go ahead,
okay,
though.
Anyway, I get that car accidents are far more likely than a nuclear holocaust. But, so, assuming I'm at my house or I'm at work, those are my two most likely places to be if something were to go down and say it's time for the world to start ending. What I'm bringing for my, first off, in the trunk of my car is a to-go bag. It's a go bag, something like you see in The Sopranos. And in that bag I have pairs of jeans, underwear, two different jackets, hats, gloves, really in case if I'm stranded on the side of the road or doing whatever.
In case you have to stay the night at the Bada Bing.
In case if I gotta go, if I gotta get out of town, I'm packed and ready to go.
Sure.
So I already have that go bag, but other things I'm bringing are just simple things. You know, like I think two pairs of shoes is big. I want to bring a pair of winter boots and a pair of athletic shoes. And then socks and underwear are the big things that I'm trying to take away from my house. That and all non-perishable food items. And maybe like a book or two.
Those cans of tomatoes that you're going to eat?
Well, we're going to get into that. My first stop in a doomsday scenario, everyone is going to be at the supermarkets. Everyone's going to be fighting each other at Walmart more than they already do. Everyone's going to be, could you imagine the hell that's going to break loose at Aldi?
Oh, it'll be crazy.
It'll be horrible.
I don't think those are the right places to go, though.
I have my spot, and I'm almost hesitant to say it on this podcast that gets thousands of listeners. I'm coming to the office. I'm coming right here.
Here.
This is my first spot because, no one would think to be here, and B, if other people are here, I believe I am by far the most athletic person that works here full-time.
So why are you saying that?
Because if it came down to me trying to fight other people for supplies, I would probably win said fight.
Okay.
Either with speed, agility, or just physicality. So what I my main target when I come to WHBC, there are 7 5-gallon water jugs just lined up in our hallway. Those are all coming with me. Water is gold in an apocalypse, and we have a gold mine sitting right here. And then I'm taking, you know, I'm pulling a Kevin from the office. I'm smashing the vending machine.
And you're taking all the food out of it.
Yes, and I'm taking all the oatmeal, little oatmeal things and mac and cheese things that we have stashed in our kitchen. I'm taking every kind of food supply, and I'm also taking a portable radio and maybe some paper products as well. Just really anything. And then...
It's actually a pretty solid plan.
Yes, it is. It really is.
That's not bad. I would have never sat and thought, come and just take all of the free benefits that you get from your place of work.
And no one, the perfect spot, we're in the perfect spot where we're not really that close to a grocery store. And we're in a city, but no one's going to be at this part of the city, I would imagine, in Canton. You know, like all of the chaos is going to be taking place probably toward North Canton, Belden area, which is where I live. I got to get past that. But after that, if I can get here, I'm in the clear. Because the next place I'm going, go rural. That's always the key in an apocalypse situation in my eyes. You got to go where the people ain't. My first stop is good old Minerva, Ohio, to see my grandparents. What do my grandparents have? Well, let me tell you. They've got guns. First off, not a lot. My grandparents aren't crazy Second Amendment people. My grandfather was just a hunter. So
sure.
He has 3 hunting rifles. That's enough for me. And some ammunition. He has 2 trucks. He has his old Ford 1989 truck. And then he has like a 2017.
It's probably truck. A beautiful truck from 1989. Like, it's probably something I want.
It's super cool. It's awesome.
Go on.
But so he's got 2 trucks to carry things. And, you know, you want to have a big vehicle when things are chaotic. So he's got trucks, he's got guns, they have a garden, they're gardeners, so they have a whole bunch of canned tomatoes, beans, sweet potatoes, a whole bunch of canned food.
Beets.
Bears, Battlestar Galactica. They have blankets, they have medical supplies, they also have love, unconditional love for me.
Wow, look at that.
But they're the hub. They've got everything I need. I've got the water, we could probably trade. I'll probably bring them along with me. yes.
Okay.
What do you think of my first 2 steps so far, John?
No, I like your first 2 steps. I could see myself going a bit different on both of these steps. I think step one is I would obviously get together with Allie and come up with a list of things that we would need.
That's exactly why I'm, you know, being single in this situation, I feel like my life, my chances
yeah, but
of
I'm
surviving.
Not gonna...
I know. But like, you have to do this. Like, you have to be with Allie. But being single in this situation, I feel like I have a much better chance of living. I don't have to worry about anyone else.
I don't know. I think 2 minds sometimes can work better than 1.
Correct.
I mean, so.
But then you got 2 people to feed.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm aware of that. And I mean, I obviously realize too that I feel both of us could go. I mean, your body can go quite a long time without needing certain things. Like, obviously you need water. That, as you said, is the paramount thing. So however you get your hands on water, that's the biggest thing. My thought would be this, to immediately go to a Costco and just take 1 of every big thing and basically just spend that all and then keep it somewhere, whether that's a car, whether that's a shelter that you have for yourself, wherever it may be, wherever your bunker is.
Well, where's your bunker?
I don't know.
You live in the city.
We do.
So you're
we do. Well, yes and no. Again, I think it just depends on which city and which part of the city you live in. I don't know that Bedford would exactly be a hotbed for, you know, people wanting to go there. I mean,
think when crisis strikes, everyone's an animal.
Probably. And I think I would do this too if it was this case. I would honestly say that we would probably go to our grandparents too, because they live in the country. They live out in the middle of Manaway, Ohio. Do you even know where that is?
Nope.
So exactly. So I mean, it's a rural area. There's nobody there. There are people that we know there that, again, if we got into a village with them, they would all be loyal and we would all work together. Of course, as the apocalypse grows, that would change. But her grandparents have a garden. They have food downstairs that they've saved. So it's a similar situation. So I think we'd go there. And I'm not worried about having a gun, I'm not worried about those things. My worries are making sure that we have supplies, making sure we have a safe place to stay, doing things like that, and making sure that we have a colony. Because if somebody's going to go after us, you want to have a group of people to stay and watch, to stay up. You want to build a colony opposed to running by yourself.
I think the major flaw in your plan is like everyone's going to Costco and Sam's Club. So
that's fine.
I mean, I just think it's just, I mean, if you can get there first, then you're good. I don't want to be a part of that fray. My whole mentality in this scenario, be it if it's, like I said, nuclear fallout, if it's zombies, if it's sickness, whatever the case might be, it's limit human contact as much as possible. In a scenario where everyone is desperate and everyone's out for themselves, you have not a lot to gain. You just stick to the people you trust, and which is family and close friends.
See, and that's why I would try to strengthen that human contact.
Well, but then the more people in your squad, the more mouths that need to be fed, and the more chances that you have someone going against the grain.
No, and that's fine, and I understand that there is that possibility. But again, if I'm going to gather all of my family and all of our closest friends, I trust them enough not to be that way.
Yes.
I mean, and maybe I'm too trustworthy of a person and can't think in terms of the world is about to end. How are people going
to
react?
You'd be dead, man. You'd be dead. You'd
but
be
like,
nice.
You know,
I'm with my grandparents also because I know
what you're going to say.
I could run faster than both of them. So
that's part of my problem. That is why I would fail in this scenario.
It did not feel good to say. I love my grandparents so much, and they would give their lives up for me, and I would do anything for them. I would do anything to try to keep them alive.
But that's why I would fail in this scenario, because I would be the one that would go back and try to save people in this scenario, opposed to just thinking
myself. I wouldn't, but like, they wouldn't want me to save them. In one aspect of things, and two, if they did, I would try, but you have to be realistic with things. I keep a tight posse, so, and that's my step three, is limited communication. I will let the people know who matter in my life that I am okay. I will tell, if you do not have the same last name as me, and if you are not, you know, someone who I talk to every single day of my life, you will not know where I am at. It will be literally just my parents, my sister, and maybe some aunts, uncles, grandparents, and like, that's it. Because again, the more people, the more, you know, good can happen. But when you're thinking about feeding people, when you're thinking about different personalities meshing and everything, you never know how people are going to react. You need to keep control of the situation. So yes, I limit my communication. I'm going even more rural because my grandparents live in a neighborhood in Minerva. So I will take them with me. I'm not going to leave them to die at their house after I take their goods. We will load up their trucks. We will either head to my Aunt Vicky's house in Minerva. Hopefully my boy Neil, shout out Neil. My cousins Neil and Joey Stafford will be back there. Or I'll go to my mom's house in Carrollton. Either one, very rural location. And it is there where we will set up our primary camp.
Are you implying that in this, like, apocalyptic world that we are suggesting, that everybody is basically out to get everybody by this point?
I'm not taking any chances. I'm not taking any chances because when things hit the fan, it is better to be safe than sorry. And I think human nature, at the end of the day, if there's a steak on a table and you and I are both dying of starvation, I love you, John, you're my friend, but I'm going to get that steak regardless of how I need to get it done.
That's fine. You can have that steak.
We can share that steak, but if only one of us can have it, it's going to be me.
But see, I think in a time of an apocalypse, yes, it's good to build those, I guess, colonies of people that you trust, but also, in order for us to survive as people in this, there needs to be some sense of, hey, we have to work together.
I get that.
And I think that's where that's where I always feel movies go wrong, because like in the scenario, it's always like, well, it becomes man against man, woman against woman. It needs to become, how can we work together to better everybody to get all the supplies possible?
I mean,
and I know that's not possible.
In the community, and that's exactly it, where it would be great if that was a realistic option, but convincing someone who I don't know, who I don't know what their background is, what their beliefs are, to value my life as much as theirs, I just feel like it, when both of our lives are on the line, or value my life as much as their child's or their significant others, I just think it's a losing battle. I'm not going around trying to take and kill from, you know, take from other people, kill other people. I'm not going and causing havoc. I'm simply just looking out for myself and my inner circle until things get better.
I'm not going to lie. I think I could become a good politician in this scenario.
Well, to me, a doomsday scenario is when there is no more politics. Like,
but I think I could do a nice job of like starting like an uprising of like people trying to work together.
Bro, you don't got any guns and you got way too many people. If anything, I'm going to where John's at and I'm stealing all of his stuff because I have guns. All right.
I don't think I need a gun.
Okay.
I think words and I think discussions.
I mean, words and discussions haven't stopped numerous terrorist attacks.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying
that was when no.
But I'm saying I am trying to create a colony.
I think you just don't want to live in a scenario like this.
Probably not, but also I'm just trying to do what's best for everyone opposed to what's best for me.
That's survival of the fittest, my friend. All right, step five for me is create my defense system for my home. Walking Dead, there was one house I remember which I really liked the layout of it.
That's the other thing. I've never seen The Walking Dead.
I used to watch it when I was in high school. The one guy, I forget his name because it's been so long, he pretty much barricaded himself in the top floor of an apartment, and then the stairs leading up to the apartment, he just made like 100 wooden stakes that were sharp. Basically, like, so you couldn't get up the stairs to him. And the only entry would be to go up through like a second floor window, and then he would be able to see you and pick you off. So I like that, but I go with the other strategy. I probably go in a basement, like a finished basement, and maybe just put heavy objects that are unmovable on the staircase, only movable for someone who has the lower ground. So like a pool table leaning up against, my mom has a pool table in her basement, washing machines, drying machines. Just cumbersome heavy objects that will trap us in. The only way they're getting moved is if the people underneath, you know, at the lower ground can move them. And you got to have a safe room, your last resort room. That's where all the supplies are stocked. That's where you go if your base is infiltrated. And that's where all your guns and supplies are. That's where your last stand should be. And my last step, get in contact with people in the military. Because I don't know why. I just feel like they will know more about these scenarios than me. They'll probably get information before me. As a news reporter, probably not. I'm probably, actually, if stuff like this goes down, I'm going to be the one who dies here on the air telling everyone else what's happening. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I try to use what we do every day, and that's communication. That's my thing. That's what I would try to do. And I know it probably wouldn't work, but, you know.
You haven't watched enough Doomsday movies.
I mean, I've watched a fair amount, but I also just think of it in terms of, as I said, I think the thing that always goes wrong in those is that people do try to go against each other.
What's the max amount of people in your group?
Say 20, 30, somewhere in there. I don't have a problem.
In one house?
Just like in one, I'm saying, you build a colony.
Okay, but imagine if this is something where you can't be outside.
Yeah, I think you could do that in one house. Because you're not saying that everybody needs a bed.
You know how many people you need to feed? 20 to 30, you're going to be eating each other in 2 weeks.
Not necessarily. You ration things out.
One person eats an extra cracker or cookie on like night 3 and all hell breaks loose.
Maybe. If it's people you trust, I don't know about that.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Let us know what you think of our doomsday plans. You know, do you just use teamwork, or are you, you know, in the back of your mind thinking about
#TeamBozica,
#TeamNoah, Grandma, Grandpa, I love you. I would never leave you to die in an apocalypse scenario. I promise. I promise. I promise. I promise.
See, I didn't have to say that. Noah's no doubters.
Noah's no doubters. John, you want to talk about doomsday? Just like the economy or the stock market, my picks have been tanking. I am 0-7 this week.
Wow.
Including an 0-4 performance, 0-3 performance on Monday's show. So my show picks are 16-16. My charting picks are 37-37-1. Entering this week, I was 37-30-1. So things you just hate to see. Noah's no doubters right now. But you know what? That's going to make the bounce back even better, folks. I've got three winners for you right now. And it's the people who are willing to die that are going to win that inch. I want Warriors. And that's we're not betting on the Warriors, though, because they stink. We're going with Syracuse -1 against Pitt. One in doubt, bet against Pitt Athletics. It's always a good way to make money. The Dallas Mavericks -4.5. They've been another Rock of Gibraltar. What is that? Did I say that right?
Rock of Gibraltar.
Yeah, something like that. They've been very sturdy for me this year. They've won me a lot of money, so we're going with Dallas Mavericks. And the Pittsburgh Penguins money line. Not a lot of great value here, -175, but they've lost three in a row. The Penguins do not lose four games in a row. They just don't. So we're hammering the Pittsburgh Penguins -175 against the Anaheim Ducks. Thanks for tuning in. Again, let us know what you think of our strategies, of our mentalities. I promise you I'm not a bad person. Again, Grandma and Grandpa, I love you. John, until next time, my friend, I'm Noah Hiles. He is
John Bozica.
Thanks for tuning in.